Welcome to the summer series of the Michael Yardney podcast. Today we're going to discuss the 12 habits of highly successful people, where Mark Creed and I will share with you some ways that you can help make 2021 a better year for you in all areas of your life. Now, normally we produce two shows each week, but during the month of January, I'm going to be delivering you three shows each week. It'll be a combination of some new shows to keep you up to date with what's happening in the world of money, finance and property investment, but we'll also be replaying some of our previously published shows, like the one today. Now, if you're like many listeners of my podcast, you're going to have some extra time this month. If you're a relatively new subscriber, you've probably listened to a few back episodes, but it's most likely that you've missed many of the earlier ones. And if you're a regular long-term subscriber, and by the way, thank you if you are, we've had close to 2 million downloads, so I know lots of people are enjoying and listening to the show. I'm pleased that I'm educating you, entertaining you, but if you're a regular long-term listener, you'll still get benefit from the selection of shows I'm going to republish over this month. So, welcome to today's episode of the Michael Yardney podcast, where you're going to learn 12 habits of highly successful people as I have a chat with Mark Creed. If you're like me, you're interested in learning about successful people. You're probably wondering about their habits, their philosophies, their behavior, what influences them, and how they manage to accomplish so many great things. Now, I started studying successful people many, many decades ago because I learned that by understanding what successful people do, I would then be able to pick up ideas, tricks, and tools to improve my life. Now, of course, there's lots of definitions of success, and that's probably the topic of a whole podcast on its own. But in today's chat with Mark Creedon, founder of Business Accelerator Mastermind, I'm going to pick his brains since he's the business coach to a large number of already successful business people, entrepreneurs, and investors. So this is the monthly Build a Business, Not a Job podcast. But even if you don't run your own business, even if you're not a professional, you're going to get benefit from today's show because the traits of success are universal. They apply whether you're a sports person, a business owner, a property investor, a mum and dad. So this show is going to be good for you. It will help you gain more success in areas of your life because I'm going to chat with Mark Creedon about what makes successful people successful, what traits they share in common, what they do, and I guess just as importantly, what you shouldn't do so you could become more successful. So welcome to today's episode of the Michael Yardney podcast.
Welcome to the Michael Yardney podcast, where twice each week you will learn a number of new ideas regarding success, property investment, and money in around 30 minutes. Our show is brought to you by Metropole, who specialize in helping you grow, protect, and pass on your wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. Now, here's your host, Michael Yardney, Australia's most trusted property commentator, who has once again been voted Australia's leading property investment advisor. That's the fifth time he's won a similar award in the last 7 years.
Success is no accident. The most successful people in life, whether they're business people, entrepreneurs, professional sports people, may not always seem to have much in common. But maybe that's not true. Mark Creedon, founder of Business Accelerator Mastermind, in fact, my business coach and business coach to a lot of very successful entrepreneurs, has just recently written an article about a dozen habits of successful people that they have in common that's made them that way. And that's what I want to have a chat with him about today. So welcome, Mark.
Hello, Michael. Good to be here.
Now, I actually read your blog and I liked it. And I know you deal with the directors at Metropole as our business coach, but also a lot of other people. So where did you get these ideas from? How did you come to these conclusions?
Michael, two ways, really. Looking at what it is that the people that I've coached over the years, the people in our mastermind program, and what it is that sets them apart. And then also having a look at it in the world and looking at really successful people. I mean, let's look at great musical successes. Let's look at sporting successes, business successes. And it's interesting when you look across the spectrum in, say, music, sport, business, there's actually lots of similarities. And success in some ways has the same kind of traits, and it just depends on the medium that you use or what it is, what outcome you apply them to.
Well, I like the way you wrote this because, and by the way, if you want to have a look at it, you can go to metropolemastermind.com.au, and we'll put a link in the show notes to Mark's article. But you actually talked about some techniques you need to triumph. So if it's okay, I'd like to go through each of those with you, and maybe you can go into some detail about what you meant. So the first technique is you've got to have drive. You've got to know where you're going.
It's interesting. I think that people who are successful succeed because they actually do know where they're going. They know the exact outcome that they want to achieve. And I guess the other interesting thing about Michael is not only do they know it, but they actually care about the outcome. So they have a desire to get to an outcome. They have a very specific goal in mind. And you and I often talk about the importance of having absolute clarity around the goal. So what they do is it's not just about being successful. It's not just about being rich. It's actually being very clear and very focused on what is the outcome they want to achieve. So, you know, the conversation that we often have with people, Michael, is, hey, if we were having this conversation in 12 months' time, where would you be? What would be happening? Get clarity on exactly what it looks like for you. How much money would you have? What work would you be doing? How much free time would you have, et cetera? So absolute clarity to match that drive.
First trait of successful people, the first thing you've got to do is know where you're heading, because otherwise any road will get you there and any road could similarly get you lost. The second technique that you talked about was, I guess, understanding the concept of losing and failing.
I thought that you'd find this one a bit interesting when we speak about the importance of actually having to be a loser. But there's a story around about Mark Burris, and I may not have it exactly correct, so I'll kind of roughly quote it. But Mark Burris went to Kerry Packer to ask Kerry Packer for some funding for a business venture many, many years ago. And one of the first things that Packer asked Burris was, have you ever failed? And at the time, Burris very proudly said no. And Packer's response was, well, come back and see me when you have. So it's the importance of understanding that success actually comes from failure. You know, it's the old saying, it's not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get back up the count. So knowing that you've failed, I mean, J.K. Rowling was knocked back several times. I reckon one of the great stories is Sylvester Stallone. You know that story, how many times he was knocked back with Rocky. And he was knocked back so many times. And, of course, it's now made him a megastar and a multi-millionaire.
I haven't seen a Rocky movie for ages, but I actually saw the last one just recently on a plane trip. Boy, his age, he's still a good actor. So I think one of the worst things that can happen, Mark, is to get it right first time, whether it's your success in business and it goes really well, whether it's as an investor, because you think you're smarter than you are. And it's usually because, perchance, by luck, you got the timing right.
Oh, you've been in the right place, the right time. You've had the right people around you. You've had, you know, the right climate. And Michael, you and I have dealt quite closely with a number of people in recent years where that's exactly been the issue for them. They've been amazingly successful. They've got it right the first time. And so what happens is when the going gets tough, they actually don't know how to get going because they haven't had the taste of failure. Whereas you and I have had the taste of failure. It's not a particularly nice taste, and I don't really want to taste it again. So we now have that drive well and truly fine-tuned to be able to make sure we avoid that.
Well, as I often jokingly say, I'm a real success at failure. Okay, point number three, you've said you've got to learn to let others do their part.
Yeah, so this sort of ties into, and I know in previous podcasts we've spoken about the level one, level two, level three businesses, but when you first start a business, you have to be multi-skilled. I mean, you and I have both done this. You know, we answered the phone, we ordered the toilet paper, we bought the milk, we made the coffee, we cleaned the office, we did all of those things. But what you have to do as your business grows and as it scales, you actually have to let go. So there's a necessary time to actually allow other people into the business, to allow them to do things for you, which are not the highest and best use of your time, and to overcome the issues of you having to do everything in the business by actually letting other people do things. And the other thing about that too, Michael, is that sometimes your way isn't always the best way. So having other minds.
You're not talking to me, though, are you?
Was I looking at you then? I'm sorry. I should have been looking elsewhere, sideways. But sometimes some people's way, not Michael's, is not the best way. So having other people in the business, allowing them to come in, give you advice, it's the old several heads are often better than one.
By allowing others to share the load, share their knowledge, the outcome usually is greater than the sum of the parts also, Mark. We've said it before, on my own I can run faster, but together we can run further. Well, maybe I can't run faster than you, but you know what I'm trying to get at. Okay, number four, avoid distractions. They're going to take you in the wrong direction.
It's interesting. One of the things I read that I found this really ironic that, you know, Twitter founder and CEO Jack Dorsey actually disabled the notifications on his phone. That's something that I elected to do probably about 12 months ago. So the only notifications I have on my phone are text messages. I don't have any email notifications. I certainly don't have Facebook notifications, Messenger, Twitter, Instagram, no notifications coming up my phone. And instead I set dedicated time to look at those things. So by not letting those distractions come in, it enables you to stay focused on the end game.
Well, Mark, I am, after our chat, going to turn off notifications because I've been a little bit naughty and allowed them to come back on again. I've been more careful about just answering emails twice a day, and I think that's a really good habit to do rather than answer them instantly. But I am guilty of having notifications on my phone, so thank you for that piece of advice. Another bit of advice you gave in your great blog was to communicate, because without it, it's like winking at a girl in the dark. What do you mean by that?
Well, actually, I got this from Warren Buffett. So Warren Buffett says that communication skills are the most important skills for success. I mean, we have to listen to Warren Buffett. He's widely regarded as the godfather of investing. You actually have to get your message across. Now, whether that message is to your team, whether it's to your clients, and one of the things that we focus a bit on in Mastermind, Michael, as you know, is what's the message that you send out from your business, and how do you get your message consistent? So what's your client promise? What's everything you do in your business to make sure that the message is really clear? And that's where communication is vitally important. And I guess where I was going there is that, you know, if you wink at a girl in the dark, there's not a lot that's going to happen. So the lights have got to be on. You've got to be having a clear process of communication.
Makes sense to me. Break the mold was your point number six.
Yeah, you've got to stand out. You've got to stand out. I went to a luncheon, a sportsman's lunch, the end of last year. They were talking there about Shane Warne. And they were talking about how fantastic he was and how he not only broke the mold in terms of his cricketing ability, but he also broke the mold off field as well with some of his antics. Now, some of them we might want to replicate, but I guess the point is that you need to stand out from the crowd. We often talk about standing out from the white noise. There's so many competitors out there. You actually have to stand out. And the way to stand out, everybody's trying to do it better. But if you can do it differently, if you can stand out from the crowd by the way that you deliver your service or your product, by the way that you communicate it, you're far more likely to get a higher level of breakthrough.
The next point you make is you've got to be agile. You've got to be able to think on your feet. And with being hit in all directions with messages, I guess that's an important trait to be successful.
Yeah, Michael, for me, thinking on your feet is about being agile. You have to do two things. It's about agility, which means to be able to respond to situations and take advantage of opportunities really quickly. And that's one of the advantages that small business has over big business. Big business can sometimes be a really big ship and it takes a really long time to turn it around. Whereas if you're a small craft, you can spin around pretty quickly. It's the old, you know, I can spin on a dime. And it gives you the opportunity to then take advantage of opportunities. But not only is it about being agile, but I think it's also the ability to take that risk. So thinking on your feet, making a decision, being committed to it, even if it fails. And you know that the history is littered with businesses like Kodak and Blockbuster who failed to think on their feet. Holden springs to mind as well. Companies that failed to think on their feet, failed to be agile, failed to change. And then compare that to companies like Apple and Netflix and Samsung. I mean, I saw the other day that Nokia actually have phones out again, but you look at the difference between Nokia and Apple and Samsung in the marketplace, and you can see that Nokia stopped being agile. They stopped thinking on their feet.
Well, if you don't keep changing, I guess you're falling back because others are moving ahead of you, which maybe brings us into your next point in your great blog, which says, let's do it.
Yeah, sometimes it's a matter of just getting in and doing it. So I think there's two aspects of that. There's the commitment, and then there's the routine. So making a commitment to take action, to achieve something. But then the second part of that is actually once you have a determined course of action and you set your mind to achieve it, you actually have to have a routine for it. I was reading that Stephen King mentioned in his book on writing. He says that work ethic is the big thing that got him through writing all of his various books. So he knows exactly where he's going to be on a day-to-day basis and what time he's going to commit to achieving in his writing. So two things. One, you've got to commit to do it. And then two, you've got to have a routine for getting it done.
Well, that falls back to some of the things we've spoken about before, about having a goal, knowing what you want to achieve and having systems to do it. But often it's actually hard to do it on your own, Mark. I know obstacles get in the way, some of them related to just your own personal flow. At other times, it's people around you who are not giving you the right messages. And that's why I've found it always helpful to have somebody to bounce off. And I think 20 years ago, when I first started having business coaches, having somebody on my side to see my blind spots, to make me accountable, it changed the way I do business. And I know that's one of the things that you do for a lot of the members of Business Accelerator Mastermind as their business coach. You make sure that they do it and keep on track.
Yeah, it's accountability. The thing about business and professional practice is, ironically, even if you're working in a reasonable sized business or you've got lots of people around you, whether it's your staff or your clients or your patients or customers, it can actually be quite lonely and quite isolating. So the advantage of having a mastermind group, I think, is twofold. I think it's the fact that you do have a group of support around you. So there's lots of support, but there's also accountability. There's somebody actually saying to you, well, hang on, this is what you said you wanted to achieve. Now, what are you doing to get there? How can we help you? What are the systems, processes, and routines we need to put in place to help you get there, Michael?
Well, I remember when we had our last intensive and all the people from Business Accelerator Mastermind from around Australia and those couple that came from, it's actually two couples that came from overseas to join us, when we discussed things and you and I gave them some guidelines of what they should be doing next, it was interesting how by being in a room with other people, they suddenly realized, hey, I'm not alone. I have that concern. They have the same concern. It made them feel normal. Isolation is a big problem, isn't it, for many professionals who only have one or two people in their practice and also business people and entrepreneurs?
Yeah, it is. And the other thing too, Michael, I find, and I've spoken to a number of our mastermind members about this, is that what we often do in business or in professional practice is we gather a group around us which is of other professionals or other people in the same industry. And the difficulty with that, of course, is if you go to an industry event, everybody's absolutely killing it. Everybody's doing it. It's like the highlight reel, you know, as you often talk about on people's Facebook page. So if you go and speak to somebody in your industry, nobody's going to be honest with you about the troubles they're having and the struggles they're having. That's the advantage of a mastermind like Business Accelerator, is that, you know, superhero capes are left at the door. Everybody happily shares the success, but they also share the losses that they've made, the struggles that they've had, and what they've learned from it.
But I've noticed also on the weekly online or twice weekly online sessions that you're having, when people are telling what they're doing in their business, people in other businesses think, hey, how could I do that? Because I've found that in the car industry, almost everybody advertises and sells in the same way. In professional health practices, and I know you've got a number of health practitioners as clients of Business Accelerator Mastermind, in general, they only do it in a particular way, and it's through referrals. And sometimes they're restricted in how they can market unless they're taught ways of ethically correctly doing it. So by actually being around and hearing how other industries are doing it and not saying, that doesn't apply to me, because that's what they usually think. Oh, that's not for me. I can't do that. If they think, how can I do that? That makes a big difference.
Oh, it makes a huge difference. And I guess that's the advantage of listening to other people from different industries, and they learn from them as well. So that's the great thing about Mastermind. They don't just learn from you and me. They learn from each other as well.
Great. So back to your list. That was sort of about let's do it, because I guess the intention is to get people to take action. The other next point you made, point 9 on your list of 12 traits of successful people, was yes, yes, no, make the decision. Successful people are decisive. But Napoleon Hill said that right from almost a century ago in Think and Grow Rich, successful people make decisions quickly. They take into account all the facts. So we're not saying don't think it through, but at some stage you've actually got to move and go into action.
If there's one thing that I see that holds business people, professional people, entrepreneurs back, Michael, it's procrastination. So just being afraid to make a decision. And we're going to talk about that a little bit further, but it doesn't really matter if it's not the right decision. Sometimes any decision, what's the saying that, you know, an okay plan executed violently is better than a perfect plan that we never actually put into place. So it may not be always right, but successful people actually are decisive, and that allows for new possibilities to open up, for the process to happen much more speedily. One of the things that you can do if you want to make sure that you are, if you are a bit of a procrastinator and you'd like to develop decisiveness skills, then one of the ways of doing that is to cut the problem down to make it nice and simple. So what is the simple problem that I've got? What are some options that I've got? And then just choose an option. It may not be the perfect option, but remember, in most cases, there's a journey that you go on. So there's a time frame. And so if you choose one of those options, you can tweak that option as you move closer and closer to the outcome to get it more and more accurate.
I think one of the traits of successful entrepreneurs, business people, professionals is that they get going knowing they don't know it all, but they know enough to get going and understand that they're going to learn the rest along the way. Those group of people who tend to be analytical, and we need those. I don't want my brain surgeon to not do it till he doesn't know it all. Not that I need a brain surgeon, or my doctor or my accountant, they've got to get it right. So people with an analytical tendency or in those jobs, they find it particularly hard, Mark, because they don't like to be right. So sure, there are some areas of your business where you have to get it right, but in general, for the big picture decisions, no regrets, no second guessing, just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, even in circumstances where you have to get it right, and you touched on a very good point before that with some professions, there are ethical rules and boundaries, but what you can do is you can set those as the outer boundaries and then make decisions to make things happen within them. So as long as you're working within those boundaries, absolutely make a decision, simplify the problem, pick some options, write out some options, and then pick one and then just put it into play.
Now, we've got three more of your points in your great blog that I want to go through. We've already hinted at the first one, that done is better than perfect.
Yeah, it does. It's a nice lead on from decisiveness, isn't it? I was reading the story that there's a illuminated poster on the wall in Facebook that was put up there in 2010 by one of their designers, and it says, "Done is better than perfect." So it's about actually achieving the outcome, taking small steps to get there. It doesn't mean that you have to sacrifice quality. But the thing is, Michael, apart from you and I, there's no such thing as perfection. So
what about our wives?
Oh, of course, just in case they're listening. So there is no such thing as perfection. The definition of perfection is going to be different for you and me and anybody who's listening as well. So what you need to do is work out what are the milestones you want to achieve. And the question you have to ask yourself is, am I making progress? Am I making progress toward my goals? If you can answer yes to that, then you're on the right track. I think it was General Colin Powell that said, that his philosophy was this: he would wait until he was 50% certain that something would be a success. If he waited till he was 70% certain, he'd waited too long. So he ran off the old 50-70 rule, and at 50%, just don't wait for it to be perfect. How many times have we seen people who have said to us, look, the time isn't right, I'm just waiting for, and they're waiting for that perfect time. It doesn't work.
I see it in Business Accelerator Mastermind. I see it in our other divisions of our business, Metropole, where investors are waiting for the right time in the market, the right time in the interest rate environment, the right political environment. The timing is never right for any of those things, Mark. Your point number 11, and we've hinted at that as well, is that I get knocked down, but I get up again. Resilience.
A nice play on that. 1980s or early 1990s song.
That was a good song, wasn't it?
It was. Two Scottish guys, I think. But look, resilience really is just, it's not just an important characteristic. I actually think it's an essential characteristic. In business, in professional practice, as an entrepreneur, in life, you're going to get knocked down. You're going to get criticized. You're going to get rejected. We spoke about before about how many times J.K. Rowling or Sylvester Stallone was rejected. But it doesn't matter. They just proceed forward. They've got this determined resilience and self-belief that helps them to get on. I was reading Angela Duckworth in The Power of Passion, Perseverance, and she actually says that resilience is more important than smarts. So, and I get that because sometimes you can hire the smarts. You can get other people around you that have the smarts, but you're the one who has to have the resilience to keep pushing forward.
That's good. And the last of your points was T-shirt and jeans. Okay, what are you on about?
Well, sometimes it's a matter of we spoke about having routines, and we spoke in the past about having systems and structure in your business. Sometimes as a business owner or professional, you need to have systems and structure in your life as well. And it's about avoiding distractions. And where the T-shirt and jeans came from was that Mark Zuckerberg apparently has this wardrobe which is just full of T-shirts, all of the same color. And so the reason he does that is just so that he doesn't have to think about what will I wear today. He's just got this routine down. It's T-shirt and jeans. Let's get in. Let's knuckle down, get the job done. And he doesn't want to spend any energy on what he calls silly or frivolous things. And it's a technique that I employ. Michael, as you know, I've got a set uniform that I wear on a daily basis. And it makes life so much easier just to get up, throw on what I know I'm going to wear. I wear a certain color T-shirt. I wear a certain color trousers to go with it. And off I go. I can get in and get the stuff done rather than worrying about all those other things. And I leave my time thinking about what I'm going to wear for the weekends.
Well, Steve Jobs did much the same. He was famous for his jeans and his black turtleneck shirt. So there you go. 12 things that you can do, techniques you can do to triumph, 12 habits of successful people. There's another one I'd like to add, even though I think we sort of covered it already, Mark, and it's that they surround themselves with the right people and they have business coaches and mentors to help them get to the next level. It's just too hard to do it on your own. And sometimes people wonder, well, why would I use a coach when I know my industry? I'm a printer. I understand the printing industry. I'm a chiropractor. I understand that. How would he ever be able to help me?
Well, my job is, as you know, is not to tell a chiropractor how to manipulate a back or to tell a printer how to take the bleed lines out. See, there you go. I do know a little bit about printing. That's the only thing I know, by the way.
Bleed lines. That was very impressive.
It's the only thing I know. But my job is not to do that. My job is to work on your all of these things. My job is to work on your mindset, to work on your systems, your structure, how you set your plans, your goals, help you get your team on board. It's all of those things about how to run the business. See, what a lot of people have, Michael, in professional practice or in small business, they don't really have a business. They have a job. They turn up every day. They do great work. They might make a reasonably comfortable living out of it. But the day they don't turn up, the day they want to take some time off, is the day the business stops working. And you and I see that a lot. So my job is not to show you how to be a great chiropractor. My job is to show you how to be a great business person and scale your business, bring new people into your business, scale it to the point where it's no longer a job, but it actually is a business now.
Why did you even bother getting into this sort of business, Mark?
Michael, I learned the hard way. In my early 20s, I mean, goodness me, my first business, I think, was when I was about 7. I was selling peanuts at the front of my parents' house. But I've always had a sort of an entrepreneurial mindset. I set up business and professional practices in my 20s. And by the time I was in my mid-30s, I had completely burned out. I burned out to the point where I'd lost my marriage, had a terrible relationship with my children, and sort of very nearly decided to check out. So I realized that there had to be a better way. And so that prompted me to go and refine myself, go and study new things, learn as much as I could. And I spent lots of time and lots of money learning as much as I could about developing a simpler way. And that's where Business Accelerator Mastermind came from. It's a system that was developed so that people could learn from my mistakes. They could scale their business without having to get down into the very depths that I ended up in.
Well, I remember quite a while ago now, almost a decade ago, a good friend, a mutual friend of ours recommended you as my business coach. I had a number of other business coaches before. And to be blunt, I'd outgrown those coaches. So there are some very good coaches out there. But sometimes if you're successful, you need to swap around. And that's what happened. You became my coach. We've become good personal friends. And I liked the system so much. I saw what you were doing for my team, but also for the clients I was referring to you that I asked, could we become business partners, which we are in Business Accelerator Mastermind. So if people want to find out more about how to have the same business coach that I do and that the team at Metropole have, go to metropolemastermind.com.au. There'll be a link in the show notes about that. Find out about what Mark could do. And Mark, if they want to have a chat with you, just a short chat to explain what their business challenges are and see if what you do is appropriate for them, would that be okay?
I'd love to do that. Absolutely love to do that.
So when you do help the clients of Business Accelerator Mastermind, it's really a hybrid system. It's a bit different to others.
Yeah, it is. So a lot of business coaching programs work either completely in group or one-on-one. But what we've done with Mastermind is we've developed this hybrid program so people get lots of one-on-one time with me. They get, they get sort of unlimited access to me to help them to move through some of the issues in the business to help them to grow. But they also get to learn from each other. So we have three times a year we get together as an intensive, and Michael, you come along and present really valuable information at those. So they get access to you as well. They get access to each other. And I guess the other thing I really like about Mastermind is that you don't have to meet me as a coach, you know, at a coffee shop once a week where we just go over the same old routine. It's all done via webinar. You can do it from your phone, from your tablet, from your laptop, your desktop, wherever you are in the world. In fact, I ran a webinar just the other day and there were two of our clients, Michael, who had sort of parked their car and pulled their phones out, and they were participating in the webinar and learning lots of great things wherever they were in the country. So it is that nice hybrid program that has lots of access. The other thing, of course, as you know, we spend a lot of time, effort and money developing our hub, which means people get access to all of the recordings and a whole bunch of tools that we've developed over the years to help them to make things simple in their business.
There you go. I'll leave a link in the show notes, Business Accelerator Mastermind at metropolemastermind.com.au. Mark, thanks a lot. I know we have this chat once a month as part of the Michael Yardney podcast. In between, we chat 5-6 times a day anyway as business partners. But I always enjoy this in this slightly different environment. Look forward to doing it again soon.
Yeah, me too, Michael. Always fun.
Well, that was another great chat with Mark Creedon, and I hope you now understand some of the things you're going to need to do to become more successful. Now, if you'd like to do it in the company of other already successful business people, entrepreneurs and investors, why not join Business Accelerator Mastermind? Just go to metropolemastermind.com.au and find out how Mark could help you. He could help your business or your professional practice, how you could build a business, not just a job. And let's be blunt, you'd be able to share the same business coach as I do and as the other directors of Metropole does. By the way, if you're serious about spending a bit more time with Mark and myself and getting out of the rat race, why not join us at Wealth Retreat? That's going to be happening later this year. At the moment, it's going to be in October this year, but let's see what happens with COVID-19. But if you join us at Wealth Retreat, you'll have 5 days with a group of already successful business people, entrepreneurs and investors, and our special chosen faculty. Why not join us later this year? There'll be a link in the show notes, but go to wealthretreat.com.au. By the way, it's an invitation-only event, but I speak to all those people interested in joining us to make sure that they're going to benefit from it and that they'd be a great fit for the Wealth Retreat community. But don't count yourself out. Go to wealthretreat.com.au and register your interest. There'll be lots of information on the website. You can find out all about it. Now, I'll be back again twice a week with the Michael Yardney podcast, but if you got some benefit from today's show, why not share it with somebody who also wants to become more successful, just like we're trying to pass the message on to help more people become successful, financially independent, better business people, better entrepreneurs, better property investors. I'd like you to help me do that as well. Just tell somebody about the show or leave a review on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen to it. I'll be back again real soon. In the meantime, have a great week. Make it a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Michael Yardney podcast, which was brought to you by Metropole, who help their clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. If you like what you heard and don't already subscribe, you'll find us on iTunes or on your favorite Android app as the Michael Yardney podcast. Watch out for our next show, which comes to you twice a week, and you'll learn some new ideas about property investment, success, and money in around 30 minutes. To get more of Michael's thoughts, go across to www.propertyupdate.com.au and sign up for his daily morning briefing, and you'll hear from not only Michael, but a group of leading property success and money experts. And just a reminder that the information you heard in this show today is general educational advice and not specific investment advice, as we don't know your personal circumstances. If you're looking for specific advice, why not ask the team at Metropole to help you?